you know, I just didn't want to bother you. And I'm like, you pay me monthly for support and you let these people in. All you had to do was pick up the phone. I know, but it was, I just didn't want to bother you. I'm like, oh my gosh, bother me, please. Please bother me.
Since when is that not our job? Let's bother David. Everyone, bother David.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
So I know you're under the weather just a bit today.
Just a tish. Just a tish. Just a tish.
So, yeah, I know you had to get to the vet the other day. I mean, you had to get to the... get some antibiotics. Yeah. Because you got the funk. So that's what happens when you go to Hilton Head and you do too much while you're there.
See, you know, you're burning the candle at both ends. At my age, stuff starts falling off.
Yep. So so as this comes out, we will actually be slap in the middle of the boot camp.
Yeah. So. People will feel like we're slapping them.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's it.
So,
but yeah, we got it. We got an interesting group of people that have signed up. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all ends up working with all these different backgrounds that we'll have sitting in. So
yeah, I know.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it will. It will be interesting. So so we don't
always
have to talk about the boot camp today as far as, you know, inviting people to come, because it's now too late. But we do want to give out some shout outs to some people that have earned some extra credit.
Yes, indeed.
If you don't know what that means, listen to the last podcast or two and you'll understand what that is. But definitely want to give a shout out to Smythe Duval, who mentioned us on a CompuLink discussion board. So that was some good stuff. I read his response to a question on there, and it was quite well worded.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yes.
And it included how you could get educated listening to Help Me With HIPAA.
I know. So it was awesome. Good job, Smythe.
Yeah, you get extra credit for that.
Yeah.
How many points are you going to give him, David?
Let's give him 3.
All right. There you go. An extra 3 points.
Yep. And now Smythe, I believe, has also signed up to be there.
Yeah.
At the boot camp.
Yeah, he'll be there at the boot camp.
So he gets more points for that.
Yeah. He's gotten points for that too. So he's doing good.
Yeah. So he got his name in there a good bit. And then I also want to give a shout out to John Dubinsky from the Maven Group, who mentioned us quite a bit on a PodNuts podcast. It's called the Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 231, where they talked about HIPAA. And I have to admit, when somebody first sent this to me, I kind of roll my eyes going, oh gosh, let's hear these two guys talk about HIPAA. This ought to be funny. And then as I started listening to it, it didn't take me but a minute to figure out, like, wait a minute, this guy's saying some stuff that sounds familiar.
I was a proud parent. I was a proud parent.
So,
proud teacher.
I know. So John proceeded to, I mean, he laid it out really well. I mean, he's taking good notes and listened to a lot of episodes. So I was like, you know, standing up going, good job, John. And yeah, he mentioned us quite a few times, and he even made it a point to say, I want to get my name in the hat for the $100 gift card, Amazon gift card. So so anyway, I do know that that podcast actually reaches quite a number of IT people. In fact, I had several email and text me about, hey, you were mentioned. So I know it got out there a good bit. So I'm going to throw 4 points toward John. Good job.
John.
Good job, John.
And John said he wanted to know what it'd take to get me up there in Michigan. So,
how much alcohol do you have? Actually, the Michigan area would be a pretty good place to have another boot camp, maybe.
Hey, yeah, that's a thought. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to somebody that we're probably going to interview soon on the podcast that's up in that Minnesota area. So, well, we'll see how the competition goes. But it's not as far away as being down here. But we better get it soon, because I don't go up there.
That's cold. Yeah, we're not going there in the wintertime.
No. I don't. No. I'm a very good Southerner. I ain't doing it.
Yep. So anyway.
Extra points for everybody there.
Yep. I think we also had some comments on social media that we've seen recently.
Yeah. Yep. Some great comments. And I believe the word was educational and hilarious.
Yeah.
That got my attention, you know. And we do admit that we, as David said, anyone can educate and talk about HIPAA, but not just anybody can make it hilarious.
No kidding. I'm more proud of that than anything, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm standing tall over that. That was.
It's funny because when you talk to people and they're like, so what do you do or what kind of podcast do you have? And you're like, yeah, it's about HIPAA compliance. And they're like, oh, okay. You're like, no, but you don't understand. It's funny.
Really? Yeah, if you can do that, well, come on, listen in. We're doing that.
I know.
Yeah.
We should get with your, was it your nephew or cousin or whatever that has the funeral home? We could do like a funny mortician type.
Yeah, I'll try that next. So, thanks for the note from Christopher Buford. That's where it was. Cool. And he said he appreciated our efforts, and that one just came in today, which got my attention, because he said hilarious.
Good job. All right, so you got, I know you just got back from Hilton Head, so that's off the list now. Mm-hmm. So tell us about what you got coming up for those who don't know yet, because I know you're going to be all over Georgia.
Georgia. Yeah, I'm going to be in Valdosta in June. I'm actually going to, you know, be in the Syracuse, Buffalo, and Niagara Falls area in June, but that's not for work. And then I'll go to Valdosta. So I go from up there in New York down to Valdosta. Talk about a difference for the South Georgia MGMA folks. And then in July, the Atlanta Association of Legal Administrators. Looking forward to that. And North Metro MGMA is in October. And Georgia Association of Orthopedic Executives is in November. So it's adding up. And, I've had a couple of conversations about some stuff in 2018. So
cool.
Yeah, I know. Interesting.
Yep. I'll be in Washington, D.C. for the D.C. Unconvention, which is a conference for IT business owners. It'll be September 16th and 17th. And I know I'll be the compliance person in the room. I'm not sure if they're going to give me a dual role yet or not, but there's talk of maybe doing something other than compliance. But definitely will be the IT compliance guy on the spot. And I think that John Dubinsky, that we mentioned a while ago, I think he's going to be there too. So I look forward to meeting him and giving him a high five and letting him buy me a beer.
That sounds great. Yeah, I can't wait to see David and spend money on him. Don't worry, it's him. It's not me. It won't cost so much.
You're right. I'm very, very lightweight. So you're good to go. So we're going to dive into the show today. We're going to talk about managing third-party access. So this is going to be something that is going to be interesting and fun. And we're going to kind of start out with some things that Severino, is that how you say it?
I think it's Severino.
Severino. Used to it. Yeah, I know. I got to get used to the new person on the block. Yeah. But Severino has said some things that I think you should take note of. So tell us a little bit about that, Donna.
Yeah, it was in an article in HIPAA Journal, which we've mentioned those guys before. We always follow them along with databreaches.net and those folks. And they had an article about Severino speaking at Health Data Palooza.
Cool.
I know, just because you can say Data Palooza. And he spoke and he said he viewed himself as the top cop of health IT, confirmed he was taking his new role seriously, and then, here's a quote, came into this job with an enforcement mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Further settlements with covered entities found to have ignored HIPAA, which I don't know that prior to his press releases, did they use the word ignored? They were a lot more gentle with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming out with a lot more. And further on down, I thought this one was very interesting and very telling, considering the number of ransomware cases I am aware of. that ransomware attacks had his interest. And while it was usually used mostly to extort money, he pointed out that ransomware attacks can result in, quote, data being compromised, destroyed, gone forever. And he confirmed that, here's another quote, it's very likely the organizations will have to report it to OCR.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, if it's more than 500 individuals, which almost all ransomware attacks are,
yeah, I know.
Then you've got a report and you're going to be investigated.
Mm.
So it was certainly an interesting article. I didn't see the speech itself or any details, but the folks at HIPAA Journal on top of it, thank you. But all of those people, remember all the people asking us if we thought there was going to be less enforcement?
Yeah, because we got a new president, right?
Yeah. Oh, all the regulations are going to go away. That doesn't mean you can misbehave.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse, I think. Not worse, but in as far as bad, unless you're not doing things right. But, you know, enforcement is going to continue and it's going to get even more. You know, we talked a few episodes back about this guy coming in and him having some, you know, some personal things that happened to his dad around
identity theft. Yeah.
Around a breach. And so he's got, he's got a different viewpoint, I believe. He's, you know, he's seen the fallout from somebody not doing things the way they should. And so he's kind of coming into this going, look, I'm not going to allow this to happen to other people if I can stop it because I've seen how bad it can be.
Well, yeah, that the things are in place to protect the patients. And, you know, it's still what we always say. It's not about compliance.
It's about patient care.
There you go, brother. So now let's talk about how we can do that dealing with third parties. And that would be your business associates.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes not just IT people, which the folks think of, but you're also your vendors, your software vendors. And you would be surprised, almost shocked to know how many usernames and passwords those people create in order to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, how much power those things have to make it easier for things to run. And I've actually been involved where we were trying to shut down the access for some of these usernames that we saw out there. And if you reduced it below admin, things quit working. Yep. That was disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, those are users that people also have passwords for potentially. So, hello, this can be an issue. So, it's not easy because these things run in the background. They log in automatically. When you start your Windows server or your Windows computer, it launches things called services. And those are kind of like background, you know, processing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it, you know, it's all the people you don't see behind the stage in a theater. That's all the services happening back there. Those people that dress all in black and move things around and in a live theater production. And
yeah,
shout out to my brother there, although he does that. So
now, I've seen clients that we've come in and kind of taken on early on, and I'm kind of shocked sometimes at how many people still have remote access to their systems that never remove that remote access.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen EHR vendors, old IT vendors. I'm not talking about the IT vendor that I'm replacing. I'm talking about the one before that. So it's like, you know, there's at least two different IT companies that still have access. There's an EHR vendor that has access. You know, the doctor's teenage son somehow has access. It's like, oh my gosh, why is there like every single remote control tool you can imagine on this one machine, you know?
Mm-hmm. and it's authorized admin user.
Oh yeah, it's crazy, and it's just a matter of, you know, things come in and, you know, people come in and they say, well, I need remote access, and sometimes it's just a one off thing, but the software is still sitting there, and you know who has access to that? You know, we have, as an IT company, we have access to all of our clients' machines, and we have admin access. You know, and it just takes a few clicks. And of course, we have to protect all that on our end, in our systems. But
What about this? And copier companies, printer companies, those kind of folks, they are notorious for doing this. And software companies the same. Everybody used to know for most of the printers and software what the login was. Because they would keep it the same. So the company would use something, secure like password 123 or admin kind of stuff to get into these things and configure all that access. But then everybody would know what the company used and they'd never change it. Right. So anybody that worked for the company the last 5 years, they know that login.
Mm-hmm.
So what keeps them from using it somewhere or telling somebody else or, hello?
Well, there's been, more than one documented case that we've even talked about where people are logging into systems long after they've been terminated from, a hospital organization.
Yeah, some of these settlements recently involve that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to clean up that termination checklist. Huge.
Yep.
Hugely important. Get that termination checklist down and make people do it instead of just checking everything off and saying, yeah, I did it.
Yeah, if anybody asks for remote access to your systems, then you need to document that so that you can make sure that when they're done or when they're gone and you fired them or whatever the case might be, that you get rid of that. I mean, I've even had companies that come in and set up the video system, the video recording systems and all that, so you can, watch your employees from home and all that kind of stuff. They've even requested, hey, we need admin remote access to the server to run our DVR software. And I'm like, no, what? No.
It's just that's the shortest path. And so that's what everybody wants, and they don't think anything about it. Yeah, that one freaked me out, just Tish. first of all, their cameras looking at everything in a medical environment. Whoa, Bessie.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people are paranoid in that way, but you got to remember, those are cameras looking at everybody, recording things. So do you have PHI there? Does that make it PHI? Have you evaluated that? But it's the amount of these, the sheer number of it is overwhelming once you start asking the questions from all of your vendors. And then you add in what your IT folks have to do on all your access points. You want to know how to get into those. You want to know how to get into your firewalls because you want these admin settings. You need to know what they are, because if that person that does know is gone, or for whatever reason you divorce from businesses, you need to know that for your own. You don't want to hope that the IT vendor will be helpful when you move on to something else. You don't want to hope that that tech person that just reset it actually told someone else in their office.
Yeah. Yeah, more times than not, that divorce is not going to go well. I actually just saw something very similar to this on an IT board the other day where somebody basically posed the question of, if your client wants admin access to their systems, do you give it to them? And I was like, really? That's a question?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand from an IT standpoint, you don't want people in there messing around because they cause problems and you're going to have to fix it. And a lot of times you're having to fix things for free because of what they've done. And so I understand that. That part of it, but there again, I mean, these systems belong to your clients. They don't belong to the IT company. So they should.
But yeah, the key part of the question is their system.
Right, right.
It's not yours.
But it was amazing how many people said, nope, don't give it to them. I don't give it to them. I'm not going to give it to them. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, they have every right to it. And when you don't give it to them, you're setting their business up for all kinds of potential for harm. So it's not something that's okay to just say, no, we're not going to give it to them because of the admin possibilities of what they can do. You have that discussion with your client, and there has to be a certain level of trust. And if they're going to get in there and make changes, then you have to tell them that you are not going to be responsible for any changes that are made by the administrator unless ones you know you made.
Yep. And another note on remote access, though, I want to warn every single person that's listening. Microsoft will not have a pop-up come up on your screen that asks you to call a 1-800 number so they can get remote access to your machine to fix any problem. That's an absolute scam. And as long as it's been around, I'm still seeing this on almost a weekly basis. We're getting these phone calls that, you know, I had a pop-up come up and it, you know, it was so super serious in the way it sounded. And it was, you know, it was Microsoft, so it had to be safe. And then I called the 1-800 number and I let the guy into my computer and he was doing all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It just...
You all of a sudden, you cancel your plans for the rest of the day.
Yeah, at least the day, if not longer. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, you have to completely wipe the machine clean. You have to go in and erase everything because you have no idea what they did. And you're not going to spend the time or money doing all the forensics involved. And in some cases, I even know IT people that completely snatched a hard drive out and just replaced a drive. They don't even want to fool with the fact that it may be some embedded systems they put in.
Yeah, it causes people literal nightmares. I am aware of people having nightmares over accidentally turning on that machine on the network once those guys have been in there.
Yeah, I know. So just, I mean,
wake up to cold sweat. I turned it on and it affected everything.
But if you don't know, I mean, if you don't actually know who the person is that needs remote access to your machines, and the answer is always no. I don't care who they say they are. If you have an IT company, it should be the IT company. If you don't have an IT company, find one. Don't let anybody that says they're with Dell or Microsoft or the FBI or anything else access your systems.
Right. I mean, if you have professional IT support, your answer is always check with them first. Mm-hmm. And if you don't feel comfortable enough with them that you can check with them first, time to start shopping.
Yeah. The sad thing is, though, I've had people call me and say, you know, I just didn't want to bother you. And I'm like, you pay me monthly for support and you let these people in. All you had to do is pick up the phone. I know, but I just didn't want to bother you. I'm like, oh my gosh, bother me, please. Please bother me.
Since when is that not our job? Let's bother David. Everyone, bother David.
But I'm like, you know, I could have in 30 seconds could have told you, ignore that. It was okay. And instead, I've had to spend 3 days fixing the problem.
So what do you do? Well, first of all, I wanted to throw in this little story here just to point out how bad it can be if you don't know these.
Okay.
These powerful super usernames and admin controls of everything. The reason it's important to know it, and we even had... back in the day, you know, when I worked for the software company, we had things in place that was a process that you would go through, and it almost worked like a scavenger hunt where you could figure out with certain pieces of information, you would be able to figure out what the security officer password was, but only a certain number of people would know to start the scavenger hunt. So we didn't all have to know what the login was, but we knew the scavenger hunt existed. And to this day, I don't know anybody else but the handful of us that knew about it. And there was probably only 3 of us. Did anyone else in the company ever knew it happened, that we set it up? It was kind of cool. But anyway, that matters because there's a case that was just in the news where it was a tech person and... the company was moving everything to another town and they offered everybody the chance to move and everybody had kind of left and said, no, I'm not moving. Except this one dude who didn't quit and didn't move. He made them fire him. Which, okay, you know, some people that whatever they need in their reality, you go with it. But just a few weeks before they fired him, he changed the admin passcodes.
Oh gosh!
And I don't remember whether it was G Suite or Office 365, but one of them is what it sounded like. It's, you know, it's their collaboration tools, and they couldn't get access to anything. And when you talk to the vendor, they're like, "You got to know that password because we can only talk to the admin person, and the admin person is not you because they got their security in place." Mm-hmm. So it was all locked down as it should have been. But the guy that knew it was now no longer an employee. Mm-hmm. So they go to him and the guy goes, actually, I think he had his attorney respond that he'll be more than happy to do that for you if you hire him as a consultant to do the work. of giving you your admin, and that consulting fee is $200,000. I swear to God, I mean, I was like, talk about some castanas, you know? No.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I've heard people that do stuff like that. I've heard the story of the guy that gets called back in after he was fired because they didn't need him anymore and something went down. They couldn't figure it out, and they knew a part in the server room was on the fritz. And he walks in, goes back. He messes around for a little bit. He walks in to the boss's room, and he lays down an invoice and a piece of chalk. And it says $10,000 was the total on the invoice. The chalk was a dollar. Knowing where to make the mark with the chalk was the rest of it. So, yeah, I mean, those things happen. But not 200 grand and I changed the password. That was a little bit of a bad case. But know that if you have an outsourced vendor, whether it's a software company or an IT company or the copier company or your website company, they could have that happen and you would be the one hanging out to dry, you know, because this went to court and it took forever in court. They finally got the vendor to let them in after jumping through hoops. And eventually the court decided in the favor of the employer in this case. But this one, you know, who knows if it would happen for you. So if you don't know those logins and you don't have it where they sign that they gave you all the information before they leave in that termination checklist, you know, make sure if it's somebody that should know admin information in their termination checklist, that's included so that you get them to sign off to say they've given it to you. And then it's a no-brainer in court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got nothing to stand on. Because they signed there that they gave it to you. But it still doesn't prevent them from doing nefarious things.
Nefarious.
Yes. So, how do we manage this, David?
Step one. Well, first of all, we got to identify, you know, all the stuff that's out there. Who's got systems in place and all that. Start with your list of all your software vendors and IT service providers.
Yeah, and that includes anybody that's doing copiers and printers and medical devices.
Yep.
Don't forget those and your security cameras.
Or security cameras or whoever else says they need access. Yeah,
they should be on your business associate list or they wouldn't have this access. So you can quickly go through your business associate list and all of those people should be marked high risk on that list first place. Because those are the ones you want to, you know, vet a little further, stay on top of, follow up with, yada, 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 as they say. But I'd like to point out that what we're doing here is identifying where everything is so that we can do an analysis of the risk.
Yeah. Imagine
what do you
that.
Think it's called? It's a risk analysis. It's a mini risk analysis. It's a little one. We are doing a risk analysis of this individual issue. So let's find where all of our problems are.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a lot of questions. Like, what you doing, Lucy?
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you have default usernames and passwords on that device?
Mm-hmm. I always love that one, especially on like wireless access points and routers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I have a horror story from last week about that. But anyway.
You know, when for you, now? You're just taunting people?
Well, it's not medical, but let's see here. How can I put this? It's a law firm where one of the lawyers is a state representative.
All right. Don't go any further on the definition. It's just a law firm. Let's go with that.
Oh, boy. I won't say what state it's in. State of confusion, probably. Uh-huh. But yeah, everything was just admin, you know, Wi-Fi, regular router, running XP boxes. I mean, it's...
I take it was somebody you were evaluating for a new contract?
Yeah, the evaluation kind of went south quickly when the client was like, but everything works. I was like, do you care about security at all? But
yeah.
But everything works.
Well, you know, everybody's going to slowly start to pivot on that. Everything works. We don't care about security.
Yep.
So you figure out all those people and who are managing all those devices and account for. So you should have all those devices on your inventory list, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you account for who manages them and who would know how to sign in as the admin. And then you're going to go through and you just include it in your discussions with them. What usernames do you use to access the network? Do you use a VPN? Do you have a Windows login? Are you set up for remote access and I don't know it? Did you set up an FTP server and I don't know it? Because these things are getting dropped out there and you don't even know.
Yep.
So your applications, all those special little things, your QuickBooks, and I can tell you right now, your practice management and EHR vendors, they got layers of those usernames and passwords. And all the automated scripts and the system services. So there's a lot of stuff. You want an IT person to help build this list. And, you know, if it's somebody like David who will give you the admin password of your own computer, get his help in talking to the other IT people and make sure you know what rights are assigned. Is there minimum necessary tied to all of those usernames that are out there?
Yeah. And another thing is, you know, what all systems is that tied to? Like, for instance, I had a client that decided that, you know, they really couldn't afford IT support anymore. And they were kind of backing down services a little bit at a time. And eventually they went out of business. But the point is when we were transitioning things over and we kept, you know, they kept dropping services and everything. But, you know, as we started digging into things, they were kind of shocked at how many things our hands were in. You know, it wasn't just the server. It was, you know, we're also managing your G Suite accounts. We're also managing your website. We're also managing your domain hosting. We're also managing, mm-hmm. you know, it just went on and on and on. And I kept, you know, having to tell them, okay, we need to convert these things over to you. You need to make sure you remove our stuff off of there, because if we're not coming in anymore or if we don't have remote access anymore, then you have to manually do that. But it wasn't just one thing or two things. It was a number of things that we had access to.
Yes, you have tentacles.
Get your hands off me. Yeah, my wife would agree.
I love it. Yeah, I could see her smacking you now.
It's like she walks into a spider web. It's that flailing your hands everywhere. Get away from me.
Yeah, get away. Yeah, she does flail her hands that way. Get the tentacles away.
Anyway, we digressed.
So with that case, you know, I know I've started doing this with folks when we have logins and control of stuff is, you know, I make sure they have equal control on their login, or if it's a case where you can only have one and you need to share it, you know, like the big admin ones, then I use my LastPass tools to share with them and let them have control as much as me. And I think that makes it a trust situation, which is something we believe we absolutely have to do our job.
Mm-hmm.
So the complex passwords, because you don't want it something that everybody that ever worked for the company can remember. Those that need access to it should get access to it. And that's it. Nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, change the passwords when an employee leaves.
Absolutely.
You know, what's your admin password? Oh, it... You know, I could be somewhere that I haven't worked with them in, you know, years and be involved in something. And I was like, well, you want to log in? Oh, you remember it. No, I don't want to. I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah. And then, you know, go back to the IT company side of things too. And I know this is a pain point for IT people, but, mm-hmm. you know, we typically have an admin password that we use for clients. And, you know, usually it's, for most IT people, it's the same, you know, password for most of the clients on most systems. But, you know, those need to change periodically. And yes, it is painful to go in and have to change hundreds of endpoints. But it needs to happen. You know, and I've seen things floating around where IT people are talking about that. You know, do you change it? How often do you change it? And quite a number of them don't change their passwords very often. So make sure that's happening.
Yeah, no, we preach it. Hello.
Yeah, change your passwords. I'm not going to change mine, but you change yours.
Yeah, physician, treat thyself.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you've evaluated all of these, it's important that, you know, you nail them down. Don't let them say, oh, you don't need to worry about it. Because mm-hmm. You do. I mean, you want to make sure if they are used, are they automatically logging off? Do they disconnect just like everybody else? You know, and we're normal people. We're humans.
Most of us.
No, really. So whether we want to accept it or not, we do make mistakes.
Most of us.
Yeah. I know David never does.
I'm always right.
Yeah. But the next time he makes a mistake, we'll be broadcasting live. And here's David. I'm going to go Facebook Live.
You'll make a mistake.
You'll make a mistake at boot camp. You're going to do something. And I'm gonna be able to get witnesses.
you know what I say. You know, I once thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken.
yuck. So, but do know, I mean, tech people, you know, you're gonna get some pushback. They don't generally like people questioning them. They're used to being the master of their domain.
pun intended. Well, that would never some people say, but anyway.
Yeah, if you've never seen that episode of Seinfeld, you really need to. It's one of the best ever. But my point is, send them to listen to this because you explain. Here's why I'm asking. These idiots told me to, and for some reason we believe them. This should really be part of your review with every single vendor, and especially if you're divorcing them, you want them to sign off on all these things, you know, just like you would as an employee is exiting. But it's very hard with tech people, and I understand it. I've been around the block, managed lots of them. I was a young tech person at one time. I don't remember it very well. We didn't have phones except the ones on our desk, and, you know, we didn't really have the internet back then that much, and we just started using fax machines in some places. So, yeah, it was archaic times. Mm-hmm. But the attitude was the same of, let me do my job, stay out of my way, I know what I'm doing. And it's a pretty common thing. And so often they don't see the big picture. They're sitting there with their blinders on, looking at their screen, doing the things that they're doing, and wanting to, get muggles out of their way. but often, you know, they're like, well, it's just the easiest thing is to just wipe it all out and restore. That's just the easiest thing rather than me trying to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. And then I would point out to them, well, it may be easier for you. You have just shut down a business for the rest of the day, and that's cost that business more than you make in a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't get that. They don't get the damage that they could do with something that's convenient for them because they don't see the bigger picture. So sometimes they have to be educated. And if it requires education, then we'll be happy to do it for those youngsters. But their tunnel vision, and this is, last episode I got to do my May the 4th, and yesterday was May the 4th, and I got to say, May the 4th be with you. So that was fun. But anyway, May the 4th, I got another cool one. With great power, there must also come
great responsibility. Go ahead, Peter Parker.
Yeah. Spider-Man. Yeah, well, and other people say, well, in 1906, Winston Churchill didn't say that. But we're going to go with Uncle Ben Parker.
Yeah. That's,
Spider-Man.
You know, I'd rather listen to Spider-Man than Winston Churchill.
But that's the way. I don't know. You know, he was lit most of the time. So it is kind of fun knowing what we know now, going back and listening to his speeches. So, but more or less, the... important thing that tech people and anybody, whether it's you, the administrator, and you, the compliance officer, is you have access to all of this stuff. So you have a responsibility to protect it and to ensure the business is protected should something happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just, you know, people driving along yesterday in Atlanta, you know, had trees fall on their car and stuff. I know horror stories where you're just sitting in traffic and something happens and you're gone.
Especially in Atlanta. Y'all got some crazy stuff.
I know. It's you know, I'm starting to watch for the four horsemen.
I mean, the roads are like burning with no reason, collapsing and bursting up through the, I mean, I don't know. I'm scared to go down there.
The airport was hit with a tornado and stuff. You know, I'm safe. I'm in some little pocket here by Stone Mountain. It protects me. I always think of it. But it is important to know and to realize the business and the patients and everybody else relies on this. So it has to do with confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So CIA of your PHI is all involved in this one topic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, there you have it, brother.
All right, so everybody's got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, I know. This is one of those, what did somebody tell you? They had to stop listening to the podcast because until they got more training from us.
Yeah, this is like every time I listen to your podcast, I start hyperventilating.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We're so sorry, Grasshopper.
Maybe we should start putting a warning at the beginning of the show. If you have any alcoholic beverages or, shall we say, pharmaceuticals, you may want to partake of them now.
Oh, bless it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our show for today, folks. Hope you got a lot out of it. If you didn't, then hit play again and listen again. You can review us on iTunes, Google, Facebook. There's just all kinds of places you can review us now. Share us out on social media. Hey, be like Smythe and John and just talk about us on any place you can.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. And don't forget to tell people about it. We are at helpmewithhipaa.com, and we are here every Friday to be in your ear, to educate you, and more importantly, to make it hilarious. So remember, HIPAA's not about compliance, it's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.